If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who is, relatively new to me. I think I've seen the name before, but until you reached out, I hadn't really delved too much into your music. So I think we have a lot to talk about to sort of get to know who you are and what you do. And I think the best way to start that off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what you do as an artist.
Yeah, for sure. Hi, my name's Anna. I go by Anaxis on stage. I have previously done more of electronic stuff. I'm moving towards a more kind of grunge sound now.
Cool.
Got some softer folk influences as well. And yeah, I've got an EP coming out pretty soon called The Whelming, and it's going to have some more of that newer sound as well, and yeah, just happy to be here.
Cool. Well, how long have you been doing this? Because I was sort of going back through your social media and some of the music you have online, and it looks like it's been at least a few years that you've been sort of actively making stuff. I mean, the earlier stuff having more of the electronic vibe than what you're doing now.
Yeah, for sure. So, I wouldn't count, you know, nine-year-old writing little songs on the hand kind of thing, but I've been doing it for a few years now. I started working a little more at it in high school, so a few years back, and yeah, I think the first EP came out 2021 or so. So yeah, I started releasing music around like 2020, you know, kind of COVID gave me a lot more time and access to be able to kind of flesh out music and release it. So I've been kind of doing that, and then I think I started playing shows more in 2021, kind of the summer of that, and yeah, it's been a steady stream of new stuff.
Cool. And I guess, I mean, I'm sure you're sick of talking about COVID. I'm sick of talking about COVID. Everyone is sick of talking about COVID. But as someone who sort of started putting out music in that time, what was that like, sort of, you know, releasing music and then knowing that the odds on being able to play a show were not happening at the time? And then you probably didn't really know when that was going to be an option.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, because I was a lot younger when I started releasing music at that time, I was not feeling as much pressure to, you know, go out and play shows and perform in the same way. I hadn't done much of that before. It was more about, you know, participating in programs, getting to know people, networking, that sort of thing. And then releasing music was just kind of a creative passion instead of any sort of business backing. So the music was purely just out of kind of an excitement to be able to make something that I enjoyed and bring it out.
Do you think having that sort of enforced time, did that help? I mean, just in terms of creating music and writing and having time to sort of record and release stuff without needing to worry about sort of the business side of things or the live performance side of things here?
Yeah, I think it helped a lot. Yeah, and especially within the time frame, I was able to like take my time with things. I was stuck home a lot, and not worrying about the business really helped me focus specifically on the craft, because that's where I feel like all my art needs to come from, the craft, before it moves out towards business. Like, business will be secondary to me.
Totally.
So, yeah, I think it was a good experience to get an idea of like how to focus on the art itself and like getting to something that I'm proud of instead of necessarily what I feel is best to market and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of looking at things, because I think too many people are focused on the opposite. And then that often doesn't work because they try too hard to do the thing that's marketable and it's not really their honest sort of genuine creation, right? It's just something that's this too tailored to so I'm glad you're doing it that way. You know, in this sort of short time you've been putting on music in the few years there, like you said right off the top, you kind of have shifted the sound a fair bit. What is the what kind of music are you into? How did these sort of two different sounds happen and come out of you?
Yeah, for sure. So when I started like kind of producing music that was getting put out, I was listening to a lot of 70s stuff, a lot of dark wave as well.
Okay.
I was really, really into Kate Bush, which I still am, but I've found other artists that are kind of influencing kind of what I do with my music now. But Yeah, so Kate Bush has always been a big driver just with the movement of production and the way that she kind of constructs her songs. And now I've moved into more 90s Matador Records phase.
Okay.
With like women-led bands. So I've listened to like, even just within that kind of era, I listened to a lot of PJ Harvey and some Fiona Apple, which I don't think she was on Matador, but kind of within that same kind of
locus. Connection, yeah.
So I think the sounds I'm making now come from listening to a lot of darker stuff, but with more of a guitar basis, because my earlier work has been more electronic. And when I started playing more and more shows, I started bringing a guitar more because I just didn't have as many electronic songs to perform.
Makes sense.
And playing the guitar in the shows kind of brought me into like, oh, this is something I really enjoy doing. I want to work more with guitar, with the art itself, instead of just the performancing.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Is were you listening to all that stuff before, or is this sort of music that has recently come into your sort of awareness, I guess, or your interest?
I think Kate Bush again has been a constant, but I think a lot of the music that is influencing me now, it's not that I didn't listen to it before, but I didn't listen to it in the same way.
Okay.
I don't think I appreciated it to the same degree as I do now. And I think it's just because I try to listen to a lot of music. I try to really, I really enjoy art. I've started going to more local shows.
Cool.
And I think just like drawing upon different people and they're talking about what the music they enjoy is. And it's just like, there's a lot of different suggestions coming in that I've been able to kind of rediscover with lots of life changes going on, and it's given me new perspectives on it.
Sure. Do you think that at this point you have sort of a sound that is yours, or is it something that's constantly sort of nebulous and shifting and changing as you sort of get experience new stuff and new sounds and things like that?
I think the sound is mine, but it goes through a lot of changes. I think there are some constants. I find that my vocals haven't changed much. Like I do like to keep moving vocals. I like to, how do I pinpoint this? I like to bring in a lot of scales. I like to move up and down with my vocals. I think that the instrumentation does change a lot, but it's a lot of singer-songwriter stuff. I work on it myself. So there's that sort of, it's all coming from me. And it's all, most of my music does explore like a more emotional side of the experience. So it's not as much like the lyrics and the vocals. I think it's mostly just like lyrics, melody, vocals are kind of what stayed as a constant, whereas all the other stuff kind of is in flux.
Okay. It's interesting you mentioned the vocals, because that's something that stood out to listening to some of your stuff, is that I'm not sure if this is the best way to describe it, but the phrasing is interesting. Like the emphasis you're putting on certain words and certain parts of phrases is, I don't know if it's something that just comes out of you organically or if it's something deliberate, but I definitely, the way that you word certain things, and without having an example, I'm sorry if it's not going to make any sense, but there's certain parts in certain songs where it was like, I wouldn't have thought, you know, I'm not a singer, but if I was, I wouldn't have thought to put the emphasis there or to sort of structure the lyric in that way. So are you deliberately trying to put focus on the way things are phrased, or is that just sort of your natural expression of it?
I think it's more on a natural side of things. It's pretty organic with that sort of thing. If it sounds good, it is good for my kind of stuff. Like if I enjoy the way it's sounding, then I'm just going to keep with that. And if it feels a little off, I'm just going to keep on workshopping it until it sounds right, kind of thing.
Okay.
But I don't necessarily apply like specific theories to how I'm going to do it. Yeah.
Are you a lyrics person first or a music person first, or does it depend on the song?
It kind of works all together. Sometimes I'll have like a concept within the lyrics and I'll have like one or two lines, and then I'll just be playing around and I'll bring in the two lines that I have in my notebook.
Okay.
But it's kind of just all over the place. There's really no consistent process.
Sure.
Is it too late to say goodbye? And is it too quiet to cheer to time? I am more shy than I was. I am more shy than I was. People tell stories of the days, when every word was in a haze. I am more blunt than I was. I am more blunt than I was. You can't stop the runner from falling down. You can't stop God from losing her crown. I'm always waiting for who I was, but I'm always changing from who I was. 5 minutes ago, I wanted this, and now I'm leaning towards that. I am more clueless than I was. I'm more confused than I was. Can't stop the smoke from making you high. You can't stop a person who wants to lie. You're always waiting for who you but you're always changing from who you were. And is it too soon to say hello? To people in time that come and go. I have accepted who I was, and now I'm changing who I was.
You mentioned a couple minutes ago about the sort of the emotional side of things. Is there a difference for you when it comes to recording music that maybe has that personal connection, has that that feeling behind it, and then performing it live? Like, do you have to get into a different sort of brain space to publicly sort of release emotional lyrics and content? Is it different than when you're, you know, sitting down recording presumably on your own, and you sort of have the space to attack it that way?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. When I perform, I feel a lot less nervous than when I'm recording the emotional lyrics. I think my fear when I'm recording emotionally is just more like I'm not going to capture it to the degree that like I'm feeling it, and I'm worried that my state, because I'm in this like very production state, I'm like I'm pressing buttons, things like that, I'm not going to be able to feel it in the same way, and I worry it's going to mess up the recording and everything like that. But I think when I'm performing, it feels a lot more authentic, and I don't have as much nerves around getting up on stage and singing that emotional stuff, especially because a lot of the stuff I've played live before. I think when it's newer, sometimes there's a little bit of that incubation period where I'm like, okay, I've never played this before. I'm a little nervous because it's got some pretty sensitive, emotional, intimate lyrics, but I'll run with it. And I mean, it helps that a lot of my friends and family end up coming to my shows, so I'm able to kind of see support system there. It's not just me coming up in front of nobody that I know.
Well, that's actually an interesting way of thinking about it, because I know other people who I've talked to on the show, you know, different styles of music, but still having that kind of emotional element to their sound, have said the opposite, that they don't like having people they know in the audience because they're dealing with something so personal, and it almost makes it seem like more difficult to get that across when you're looking right in the face of someone who knows you well. Like, is that does that make you more comfortable though, having those people in the crowd?
I think having those people in the crowd does help. I'm very lucky to have like a really system, and I think having that support system, I'm a very open person. When I talk to my friends and family, they kind of know what I'm talking about. Like, if something's coming up in my conversations with them, it's probably going to come up in the music. It's nothing like that I'm explaining that hasn't been kind of iterated in some way, shape, or form before. So, yeah.
Sometimes when I hold myself, Can't tell where I end and begin. Someone's there to ask for help, to absolve me of all their sins. And I'm tapping feet with Robert in a 60s roundabout. I'm on my way to Robert, wearing the dress he picked out. Mismatched hands on clammy skin.
What is the, I mean, for people who have heard you before, and like we've talked about, you know, your sound has shifted a fair bit, but what can people expect from this EP that's coming out? Because this podcast will be out shortly before the EP release show, at least. So, you know, what should people expect sonically from this record?
I think they're going to be a little surprised that it sounds a little more live, and it's very, well, previous EPs have been very much saturated in the way that I've done it. It's been a little more, like, kind of, you can tell that it's made on a computer kind of thing.
Okay.
Whereas this one, it has a more live feel to it. There's a lot of motion in it that seems to have just come up organically. It doesn't seem like it was heavily produced or anything like that. And I think, again, like, there's going to be more of a guitar basis. It'll move kind of between some heavier guitar rock alternative kind of songs, and then it moves to very soft, grungy, but also very much like singer-songwriter folk kind of sound.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have an interesting movement because it's two like very different genres in terms of loud, quiet, loud that are kind of coming into it. So yeah, I think it'll be different.
Okay. Well, I mean, the loud, quiet, loud thing, I mean, that whole grunge era of music in general, I mean, the loud had just as much emotional punch kind of as the quiet did, right? It was like the best bands in that scene could do both. They could have the heavy part pull the heartstrings as much as the soft part. So I think that it definitely works. Grunge influence stuff definitely works for getting feelings across as well as anything, really.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, how did you... I'm always interested in this because I'm in my early 40s now. So I grew up when I was in my junior high as a young teenager, grunge was still happening. It was still like kind of the thing that was going on. And so whenever I talk to someone who I'm assuming you're younger based on what we've been talking about, how did you discover this? Like, what is the appeal, I guess, of some of this music in 2024, 2023, whatever it was, you know, what, cause it's, to me, I mean, I still listen to it too. But it seems very much of an era, and it seems like we're quite detached in the timeline of humanity at this point from the sort of that sound. It obviously still resonates with a lot of people. What is it with you that works? What is it about that style that works with what you're doing and sort of appeals to you?
Yeah, so I'm just thinking even, like, you're talking about your middle school experience, and I just started listening to, like, some of the more rock-influenced stuff in middle school.
Okay.
My mom had a Pixies t-shirt, so it was kind of just stumbled upon it. My family is very music enthusiastic. My dad has been making music in the scene for like 30 years, things like that. So,
well, that helps.
It definitely influenced the way that I look at music, and it has exposed me to like vastly different decades of music. I think it's also just like friend groups and stuff, meeting different people who enjoy different music, and I'm pretty social, so I get a good chance at talking to different people who have different tastes. And I think that's definitely influenced a lot of relations that have caused me to listen to different genres.
Sure.
And yeah, I stumbling upon grunge was just kind of accidental. And I just really enjoyed the heaviness because I hadn't heard anything like it before.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I guess that is the best way, I think, still to discover new music is for someone to just sit you down and say, here, listen to this. This is great. I mean, you know, we have all these other options now online and everything, but yeah, I think that still is the most effective way. Someone is really passionate about something and wants you to hear it. That usually sells it better, I think, than clicking on a link somewhere.
Yeah. And I mean, it just makes me think like, same with book recommendations, any sort of recommendations, the person knows you. So they're recommending something that they like, that they think you'll like. And that already like an emotional attachment to the music just from that, which I think is really important to enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. Just to kind of take a weird jump off of that. I mean, you know, you're putting out music, you have this EP coming out. How do you intend to sort of get that heard? Because I mean, you know, hopefully, yes, people will hear your stuff and recommend it to friends and that word of mouth thing will work. But you know, we're in an era now where everyone is putting out records constantly and there's so much music out there and it's all sort of thrown at you all at once.
I mean,
how do you think that you can get your music heard by sort of the people that will most appreciate it? There might not be an answer to that because I know it's like the question for everyone right at this point.
Yeah, I think that's a really big question. I have a lot of stuff in my notes app that's just like, you know, very simple practical things just on my base level, being like, okay, reaching out, you know, Witch Police, you know, reaching out and kind of finding different avenues to communicate and meet people. And I've also been just like, I think I have this old-fashioned idea that my dad's taught me that is like the best way to get your music heard is to get on stage if you're a performer. So I'm doing my best to play shows and make the shows an experience instead of like, it's not an experience, but it's also like an experience. You come and you enjoy yourself kind of thing. So like I've got an art trade that I've got organized at this newer show because I find that people who do other disciplines of art really enjoy.
Yeah.
So I'm doing an art trade, you know, you bring in smaller pieces and there's a barter system. We'll be giving like wristbands to those who have brought art so that you know who to talk to and kind of things like that.
Well, that's
which
cool.
I think, So just finding things that I haven't really seen when I'm going to live shows. I mean, like, okay, what can I do that makes this seem like an interesting experience? And yeah, that kind of thing.
Rather than just going to watch someone play music for half an hour and then you move on to the next thing, right? Yeah, I get what you mean about wanting to have...
Yeah.
Do you have an idea sort of at this point of where you fit in within the local scene? I mean, I know there's so many musicians in Winnipeg. I've been doing this for like 12 years and I still haven't scratched the surface of them. But I mean, do you think that there's a sort of a niche within the local scene that you've either fit into now or sort of want to find yourself more involved in?
I mean, I'm not sure, to be honest. I think like the niche with the local scene, like I have a lot of friends across different genres within the different scenes.
Yeah.
So when I'm not on stage, I'm going to different varieties of shows. Like I've been to like some really great punk shows and then some really soft singer-songwriter shows and things like that. Just because of my history, I haven't had a backing band until this show, which I will be performing with a backing band.
Oh, cool.
More in the singer-songwriter pocket just because that's kind of where my music fit in. it was just me playing in the guitar, so it's more of a narrative than like so on, so on, so on kind of thing. There's a lot of talking.
Yeah.
But so I think, yeah, I'm trying to move more towards this very large pocket of the scene that's multiple instruments on stage, multiple people.
Sure.
So yeah, which is pretty vague, but that's kind of where I'm moving towards.
Well, I mean, it is vague. It's definitely vague, but there's a delineation between like solo singer songwriter and bands, right? Like, there's definitely a separation there.
Snow is crushed in an instant. All I do is stand on my own. Breathing, breathing sets the tone. A star between Melville and Laurel to digest a whiff of smoke. A lingering feeling. Quieter feeling of hope, and I'd like to say you're gonna do better. I'd like to say you're gonna do fine, but just like the changing of winter, all I'm sure of is the passing time. I wonder what goes on in your head to make you act this way. Just made of skin and bones now. I'm a heart made of molding clay. And I'd like to say you're gonna do better. I'd like to say you're gonna do fine, but just like the changing of winter, what sure is the passing of time?
Do you have to approach them differently when working with a full band rather than just solo? Like, do you have to structure or rearrange any of the songs, or are they written as they are and works as a solo thing and as a band thing?
So yeah, because of my songs, like I write it by myself, I'm pretty strict with bands. And I'm just like, hey, this is my music and there are very few things I'm willing to adjust on it.
Sure.
So you know ahead of time and that kind of thing. So when it's working in a large group or within a band, I'm going to be cognizant that, yeah, sometimes one or two lines, the way that a tempo is going might not work in the same way.
Yeah.
But the general structure of the song doesn't really change.
Okay. And then how can, we might as well plug the release show, because people will hear this before that happens, if they're listening when it actually first comes out. So what are the details of that show?
Yeah, so that's October 24th. It's at Side Stage Winnipeg. So the newer place was born between the theater, Park Theater and Park Alleys. Very excited about it. I'm also playing and sharing a bill with Simon Burns and Witchy Woods, both really great artists who I will also plug in here as we're talking about this. So feel free to go check them out. Tickets are online through the Side Stage website. They're about $15. And yeah, I really hope to see you there.
Cool. And that's the album release show. You know, obviously there's a million different ways people consume music in 2024. How can someone get hold of the album? I mean, if they're listening to this maybe after the album's already been released, where would you direct them to actually hear your music?
Yeah, so this EP is strictly on digital platforms. There is some hope for the futures to be like in physical copies. So yeah, any sort of streaming platforms, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, I think Deezer is on the list of things that the distributor can distribute to, that kind of thing. So if you have some sort of platform that you listen to music on that's online, you should be able to find it under an access.
Okay, awesome, awesome. And then I like, it's, you know, the good thing about this being a podcast is that someone could hear it before it comes out, or they could hear it 2 years from now, and by then, who knows what you have as far as shows or new music and things like that. So, yeah. What's the best way to sort of follow up with what you're up to as far as you know, upcoming gigs and new music and all of those things?
Yeah, so I'm very Gen Z. You just got to check Instagram. I mean, I of course there is a place for word of mouth, but if you're looking for like very clearly cut, like this is what's happening, yeah, and like a place where you can go back and refer to it, then just my Instagram. It's Anaxis with the word music after, just because Anaxis was already taken.
Okay.
Yeah, just go there, and I try to keep the major things that are happening musically on pinned on the feed, so you'll be able to find it pretty quickly. And usually I have a link in the bio if there's anything really significant for me happening.
Awesome. And then I guess what is the significance behind the name?
So it's not particularly significant.
Okay.
It was, my name is Anna, and I had an XIS on the end because it sounded cool.
That turn off.
And he was like, oh, you know, XIS would be such a cool thing to add on. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to run with that. And it's been that for 6 years. So.
Cool. And you're still cool with using that as a name? Like, you don't want to go by the birth name, the actual real name? You prefer the stage name?
Yeah, I prefer the stage name. I think it allows me like a degree of separation, so I remember not to like, you know, degrees of professionalism within music instead of like fully. I also, my name, it has a lot of royalty conflicts.
A royalty conflict? Yeah. Oh, okay. Against other people with the same name, kind of thing, or?
Yeah, my name's pretty generic. It's Anna Hunter. So yeah. It's very quickly, like I looked it up on Spotify and there's like 15 artists with the same name. So I was like, yeah, that's not going to work.
Oh, totally. But I have a generic name too, so I get it. I get it for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Punch the pillow. Quiet your weak. Cover your face. Don't let them see. You are weighed down by 20 tons. You don't forget you've never won. You seem to relish all the pain. You've got an elephant in your brain. Perfect memory. You recall. Different things too.